From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. We're preaching on walking in wisdom, and as we saw the text this morning, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. God is a God of just weights and measures, and in life, He wants us to live a balanced life. And I don't know of any subject more misconstrued in the Christian life, because everyone has their own opinion, their own definition of balance. What is proper balance? And I want to speak for just a few moments on the subject. I believe that a balanced Christian life is minimizing those things that God minimizes and maximizing those things that God maximizes. And the sooner in life we understand there are things in life that really just don't matter. The world may glorify it and emphasize it and push it and convince us for a while that those things are important. God says, maybe not so much. One of the best decisions you can make in life is take those things according to God's Word, using His book as a guide, and saying there are some things in life that just don't matter. Amen. And that position may not matter to God as much as it matters to you, and that increased income, and we've got to have His perspective. But God is a God of perfect balance, and those of you that are lovers of science understand that. Everything God created in Genesis 1, He created with perfect balance. Otherwise, there'd be no fish that could live in the sea. It's amazing how you simply take a fish out of salt water, out of that environment, put it in fresh water, and it can't survive. And God did everything, whether that was the earth on its axis or the human body. And if you want all the scientific details, Brother Sullivan right there can explain that to you in great detail. It's amazing how we're chemically balanced. How many of you have ever been to a doctor, had him look you in the eye and say, your counts are off? Yeah. And for some women, they think immediately this is about lying about their birthday. You know, they're on the slip. They put they were 42 and they're actually 48 and the doctor caught them. But no, he's talking about the chemical balances in the body. And my dad, in 2008, right before his death, I remember the doctors constantly trying to give him different medication to help him, whether that was with his creatinine or his blood sugar levels, and they couldn't balance those levels chemically, and it ultimately caused death. And in life, we've got to understand the importance of balance, because we all hold a lot of different positions and wear a lot of different hats. And as a father, as a pastor, as a husband, as a friend, as a son, one of the most important lessons we can learn in life is that success is not one-dimensional. And I don't want to be a good pastor at the expense of my marriage or at the expense of my children. I've watched people, regrettably, I've watched pastors lose their marriage or lose their family, lose their children because they were one-dimensional and their focus was too extreme in one area of life. And we understand that this is a constant struggle. And also, we understand that ultimately, God is the creator of life, and God is the controller of life. How many of you have come to the realization there are a lot of things that are out of your control? So as much as we want to try to balance life, there are just certain things that God says, I'm in charge of this. And how many ever thought you'd just about gotten things in order, and then God threw something onto your plate to put your life out of balance? And you said, hold on for a second, God, this wasn't part of the plan. I was micromanaging everything pretty well until you threw me this curveball. And as we look at balance for a few minutes this morning, we've got to go back to the basics. And of course, the starting point is putting God at the center of everything in life, or it'll quickly get out of balance. And in 2016, we need reminded that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And you can't get any more basic than this. In life, when we take a look at where we're out of balance, we have to do self-examination, not just on a weekly or monthly basis, sometimes on a daily basis. Especially those moments when it seems like everything is upside down and tipsy-turvy, we got to say, okay, where am I struggling? Where am I failing? I remember years ago talking to Brother Willett, and he gave me some great counsel. I said, I feel like at this point, juggling responsibilities, I'm watching you. It seems like you do everything perfectly and properly, whether that's pastoring the church or running your Christian school or preaching meetings. I said, how do you do it? And he said, no, Brother Thompson, here's what you're going to understand. We all fail at something every day of our lives. You just want to make sure you're not failing in the same area 2 days in a row. Amen? How many of you failed this past week as a father? It's going to happen. But we shouldn't fail 2 days in a row. Amen? I failed as a pastor. I have failed as a husband. I just want to make sure I don't string together consecutive days or consecutive weeks. Next thing you know, you've got a hole in your marriage and a problem in your ministry. But when we talk about putting God at the center, we're not talking about putting ministry at the center, putting service to God at the center, but truly our relationship with God. And as much as it sounds cliche-ish, Christians, it happens on a weekly basis where our relationship with God is not at the center and God's not at the center of our universe, and how quickly making money or how quickly gaining position or how quickly a hobby can become a focus. How can someone spend that much money on a motorcycle? How can someone invest that much money in hunting? How can someone spend that much money on their house? We've all looked at someone else and noticed their imbalance. Many of you work in an environment where people are very successful financially and failures in their home. Marriage and remarriage. And I'm not trying to say, look at your past and God's forgiven that and helped you. But now looking at your future, you want to say, I'm learning from the mistakes of the past and where I was imbalanced and it cost me. Now I want to correct that and get balanced. And as your leader, as a husband, as a father of three children, I understand at this point more than ever in life that God wants me to live a balanced life. And all of us have seen, not just in the world, but in the church, imbalanced living and the consequences of it. I believe balance is seeing everything in life from God's perspective. It's using the book, this book, the Bible, as the scales by which we balance the decisions in the direction of our life. Once again, this may sound repetitive, but it's the basics where we've deviated and gone off track. If we don't understand in the Christian life that we have to balance prayer, Bible reading, and church attendance, and worship, and soul winning, we quickly become unbalanced. And we don't sacrifice any one of those things for the other. And I know some, boy, they've gotten in this book, they've memorized this book, they studied this book, at the cost of prayer. And you'll quickly become imbalanced. And I know people have gained all kind of knowledge and sacrifice their marriage or refuse. Listen, they'll get in this book, memorize scripture, and refuse to pass out a tract or talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's imbalanced Christian living. I know people that'll give and give and give, but won't do anything other than throw money in the plate, and that's the way they ease and appease their conscience, is through their giving. That creates an imbalanced Christian. I know people that'll pray and read this book, stiff as a board, never worship God, not in the house of God, not outside the house of God. Singing praises to his name is just too difficult, not even in private. Meditating on the words of that song, lifting up your voice. I'm learning over the past year the importance of worship, and I've thought how often I prayed in the past, and I didn't start with worship, the God of the universe. And we enter into his presence with our hand out, demanding tone, asking God, requiring of God, insisting. How many times have I heard people start their prayer with a Bible verse like God was clueless about what he wrote? Now, God, you know what Jeremiah 33:3 says. Cry to me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And I'm sure God's wanting to say, stop. I wrote that to you, not so you could quote it to me. Oh, if we take the time to lift up our voices and worship Him, but we get out of balance even in our prayer life. And here's what's so strange. Satan doesn't take a bad thing. Satan takes a good thing and helps us get out of balance to the point where we become obnoxious with a good thing. I've watched it. Family's a good thing. But when people become overboard and center their life around their family, their kids become obnoxious. They become exclusive and at the cost of ministry and soul winning and evangelism. And how many of you have seen someone that became so one-dimensional their whole life was about soul winning and they were ignoring everything else and everyone else and became very obnoxious? You ever met someone, all they could do is quote scripture? They weren't living it, but they could certainly quote it. That's becoming a one-dimensional Christian, and a false balance is still an abomination to the Lord. I think we should never overemphasize that which God minimizes. And that happens at the drop of a hat. It happens so easily because of our human nature. Making money. I don't think the average Christian goes in with the idea, the mindset, the purpose of, I want to revolve my life around my income and making money, making more money. But the next thing you know, if a Christian is working hard and understands principles of authority, he will be rising in position with that company. And pretty soon the boss is giving him overtime and asking that person to work a lot of hours at the sacrifice of their family and sometimes a ministry and at the cost of a Sunday service. They didn't go into that company with that purpose, but they saw the opportunity and began to overemphasize what God minimizes, and they lose balance in their Christian life. That could be a house. That can be something as simple as a house. Not like you bought that house with the purpose of making that exclusively your goal in life, your challenge, but listen, there are dozens sitting here this morning that are going to go very quiet on me over the process of talking about imbalance, because all of us have been there at one point or another. It's like the tires on our car. When we talk about imbalance, this is something we all can understand. You've got to keep those things balanced on a regular basis, because just normal wear and tear, a bump in the road, a pothole, for all the ladies out there, curb. Ladies purchase vehicles that are curb magnets, appropriately distributing the weight. And in ministry and in marriage, if you're not appropriately distributing the weight, we're all carrying a load. Here's what you do. Sometimes it's underinflation or overinflation that affects the balance of those tires. You know what we do with things in life? Sometimes we overinflate or underinflate. You know what you do? You add some air to that tire. And sometimes in life you say, I'm underinflating this area of my life and I haven't emphasized enough at this point my marriage. When your marriage is suffering or your children are suffering, that teenager is suffering. Say, Dad, I'd like a minute of your time. I haven't had a minute all month. Well, I'm putting food on the table and I'm paying the bills and I bought you a suit and you ought to be happy. I helped invest in your car and I bought you tires. And he said, but Dad, I need some of your time. Because there was an imbalance there. And we have to be aware of these things 24/7 because it's a constant battle. We understand in that battle there's a physical side, there's a spiritual side, there's a mental side, and sometimes we can be so focused on the spiritual we forget the physical. Next thing you know, you end up in the doctor's office or going through surgery because you ignored the physical. I know. And bodily exercise, the favorite verse of all fat people, bodily exercise profiteth little. Potato chips profit much. But if we don't properly take care of the physical, you're not going to be able to participate in ministry. And if someone's not balancing the relationships of life, things quickly get out of balance. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. I want to see number 2. Living biblically balanced at times is going to look unbalanced to the carnal mind. And this is why you want to maintain a spiritual mind, or you won't understand biblical balance. Mark 1 verse 16. Now as he, speaking of Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, then he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Doesn't this sound a little imbalanced to you? Jesus comes by and says, I want you to leave your nets and follow me and leave your family and follow me. Give it all up. Follow me. Well, where's the balance, the financial balance in that? Where's the family balance in that? Have you ever followed Christ and had someone that was either carnal or unsaved look at you and say, you're unbalanced. If you're extreme, be careful, because Jesus' life and ministry at times would appear extreme and unbalanced if viewed from a human perspective. Look what it says in verse 35 through 38. In the morning, rising up a great while before day. Isn't it strange that we don't consider someone imbalanced if they're golfing at 6 in the morning? If they're fishing at 5:30? If they're driving out in the snow in a mountain range to saddle up a horse and go into the high country where there's 2 feet of snow? I just talked to James Hoffmeister in a group in Alaska. I resisted temptation. You ought to be proud of your pastor. He said, get your ticket, Pastor. We found the moose. We found the moose. The camp's set up. You don't have to carry anything back. We got it all set up. But those guys hike 60-pound packs on their back, hike 6 miles back, set up camp, freezing temperatures. Doesn't that sound a little extreme to you? But you know what happens if a Christian, a baby Christian, puts his family in the car at 9:30 in the morning, drives 4 miles to a church, parks in the visitor's parking lot right next to the front door, his family's going to think, you're extreme. Sometimes, to the carnal mind, serving Jesus Christ seems very imbalanced. Now look what he's doing. He's waking up early, great while before day. He goes out, he parts into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for thee. He had been healing the sick. There was a big crowd out there, many that were sick and in great need. And how does he respond? He said to them, let's go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth. He said, I'm not going to go back and heal those sick. You know what happens in life? In order to stay balanced, we've got to maintain our focus and our priority, because we're being pulled so many different directions. And if there's anyone that had so many pressing needs, urgent needs, that only he could take care of, but he said, I didn't come here to heal. Now, that didn't please everyone. How many that had gone out of their way and walked miles, remember this before modern transportation, and they've walked miles carrying someone that was lame or that was sick or that had leprosy, an urgent need that could cause death, and Jesus literally turned his back on them and walked away and said, let's go to the next town and preach the gospel, because he said, I've got to keep my priority straight, and my priority is doing the will of my Father. And I could get distracted doing a million other things that would consume 24 hours in a day, and I can never sleep. But I've got to prioritize to stay balanced. And the priority right now is preaching the gospel to the lost, not healing the sick. Sometimes balance means saying no in order to maintain our priorities. Sometimes it means saying no to a job opportunity, no to a business party. Goes with me to John 1:14. So it may have appeared to look a little imbalanced, but he was doing his Father's will, and God's priorities for you and people's expectations will seldom be in agreement. Look what it says in John 1:14, because here's the verse that shows his incredible and perfect balance. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Look what it says. Full of grace and truth. Now that's balance. How many ever met someone in life that was full of grace and truth? I've met people that are full of grace at the expense of truth. That'll lead you to compromise. There is so much distorted grace in this day and age, even in the church, that we've wandered from Bible principle. We've sacrificed God's holy word in order to be nice and show grace. And God said, I didn't tell you to be full of grace and that's it. I want you to be full of grace and yet full of truth. How many of you met someone that's full of truth and had no grace? I thank God for my wife. I had truth and no grace. She had grace and little truth. And God put us together and said, let's see if you compliment each other and let's make this marriage full of grace and truth. Can you imagine if God had just brought one of us to the ministry of Capital City Baptist Church? God had just brought Kim, this church would be a place of grace, amen? And if God had just brought Pastor Adam and not Kim along, there'd be a lot of empty chairs in here this morning. And God uses that, but we don't see two people in this. First, we see Jesus Christ, one person, full of grace and full of truth. That's called perfect balance. How many ever struggled with this balance? Because you had truth, you knew truth, but you had to dogmatically tell the truth and yet be graceful in it. How many struggle in your own homes with this, with your own children? I want to make sure that I'm complementing truth with grace and grace with truth. And this is where God has helped you out, because with your children, they say, thank God, because usually there's one parent that is truth and little grace, and usually there's another parent that's a lot of grace and little truth. And God says, hopefully this team together will give to this family and to these children grace and truth. And instead of allowing that to complement each other, sometimes we allow those two to war with each other. And there's conflict because mama full of grace or daddy full of grace is arguing with mama full of truth. And God says, that's balance. And we're supposed to be balanced, because a false balance is still an abomination to the Lord. I want you to see number three. There's a great and grave danger in not living biblically balanced. Go with me to Matthew chapter 23. Imbalance will cause you to fail in areas of life that you should be succeeding. God did not give you one role. He's given you many roles. And He expects you to be succeeding in each one of those roles. And sometimes I've allowed my role as a father to hurt my role as a pastor. And sometimes I've allowed my role as a pastor to hurt my role as a husband. And sometimes I've allowed my role as a father to hurt my role as a friend. Wouldn't it be nice if we just had two or three roles, but you got 8 or 10? You're also a son. And your parents say, hey, what about us? And you're trying to juggle all these roles, and the boss says, wait a minute, your duty to me is first and foremost. If you want a paycheck, and if we're not careful, that imbalance, and you look in the Bible, there are so many obvious mistakes that were made among men that we consider heroes of the faith. David was imbalanced, and it cost him his children. Eli, such a great man of God, was imbalanced, and it cost him his boys. And I've met people hung up, good people, I mean good, God-fearing people, hung up on one thing in life at the cost of so many others. Right. Several years ago, I went and met with a pastor, and we went through his old building, a church that used to run several thousand, and now they run a couple hundred, because he got caught up in politics and started beating that drum at the expense of everything else, and his teaching became imbalanced, and his preaching became imbalanced, and his ministry became imbalanced, and it hurt the church. It devastated his ministry because he got off track by becoming extreme in one area, imbalanced. Look what it says in Matthew 23:23. I believe this is the greatest danger in imbalance. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You know what? Becoming imbalanced can make a person a hypocrite. When we overemphasize one thing. Now, these men were precise in their tithing. Can you imagine going to the kitchen cabinet and pulling out the spices and dividing 10% of that spice, putting it in a baggie and bringing it down to the church, put it in the offering plate? I don't just give 10% of my income, I give 10% of everything to the Lord. He said these guys were so precise that they were tithing off their spices. But he said, what about mercy? Because while you're tithing off your spice, I just healed this man on the Sabbath, and you're down here griping because I healed a man. And that kind of grace and that kind of mercy is more important. He said, don't leave your tithing undone. He didn't criticize tithing. Here's what some people think. Christ was actually attacking tithing. He said, you ought to have done both. He said, you ought to be balanced enough that you're down here worried about the sick and tithing too. But if you're spending your whole life carrying a little plastic bag with your spice tithe and waving it in the face of others saying, this makes me a good Christian, Christ said, you just become a hypocrite. Because if that's where you take your pride, your spiritual pride is placed in a little plastic baggie, you're hurting. Look what it says in verse 24. Ye blind guides, which train a gnat, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. And of all uncleanness, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You know, we're supposed to be balanced in the way we approach our Christianity, and we got to emphasize the inside as much as we emphasize the outside. And when someone begins to put more emphasis on the outward than they do on the inner man, that person becomes a hypocrite. You say, which is more important? Both are important. And you ought to be clean in the outside. Listen, you fall on your face before God, you ought to start with worship, and then you ought to go straight from there to confession of sin and make sure you're clean on the inside before you ever come into the house of God. You ought to make sure what you're doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday is clean and holy and proper and appropriate in His eyes, glorifying to His name that which no one sees, the hidden man, the inner man. Ought to be a great and grave concern. Those things that go through your mind. What you do in private, your secret life. You shouldn't have a double life. I stood up before a Spanish church a couple weeks ago. I missed one of the activities, and I said, I apologize, church. I've been living a double life. I got a pastor English church, pastor Spanish church, and it leads me to live a double life. But that shouldn't be a secret double life that no one else knows about. And here's what people do. And next thing you know, they're putting on a suit and a tie, combing their hair, put a Bible in their hands. And they're focused on the outward. But on Monday night, what they do with their computer, it was a totally different life. Unseen, unknown. But on Wednesday night, they show back up, smile on their face, hold a hymn book, worship the Lord in song, raise their hand, shout hallelujah. And then on Thursday night, that which does not honor and glorify God passes through their lips, their heart, their mind, contaminates their soul. If you're not balanced in saying, I got to make sure that I'm emphasizing the inner man as much as the outer man, Christ rebukes them and says, you've become hypocrites because your entire focus is on the outward and there's no focus on the inner man, makes you a hypocrite. There's great dangers in a false balance. And any false balance will get your focus off you and on others. What an unbalanced Christian that is. Someone that's walking around looking at all the imperfection of those around them. You're an imbalanced Christian that just became a hypocrite. Because a true balance will get you to focus on you personally staying balanced. Let me just say this. You can only balance yourself. You can't even keep your own children balanced. You can't keep your spouse balanced. You can only balance yourself. Number four, balance is the key to maintaining a healthy church. Have you ever noticed this? You want to talk about creating an unhealthy environment in church, just get a few people, a few in leadership positions out of balance. When you make that ministry one-dimensional, if you make it about only one thing, proper, balanced Bible teaching is necessary. I've watched churches fall into Calvinism recently because they became imbalanced. They began to spend all their time thinking about and trying to comprehend the depravity of man. Can man see God? Does God seek man? Aren't you glad that God found you and you got saved? You know how much more than that you need to understand? Nothing at all. You got the gospel and God in His grace forgave you your sin. You ought to shout hallelujah. And finish reading the rest of the Bible. Pastor, what do you think about limited atonement? I thank God that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, and I'm going to shout whosoever all the way to heaven. So whoever that poor soul is, have become imbalanced and now fallen into false doctrine because of imbalanced teaching or preaching. How many ever saw someone that started off on the right track? They were reading the Bible. They were on fire and doing the right thing. The next thing you know, started preaching a mid-trib rapture. They became imbalanced. Their whole focus of their life, they're not concerned about souls. They're not involved in ministry. They're not doing the work of God. They've read 37 books. I want to re-explain to you Matthew 24 because I found a heresy here so deep it's incredible. It's imbalanced. And a healthy church is the result of every member and every leader staying balanced. And we've got to focus on the Christian school and the Bible college and the junior church. And the youth ministry, we're focused on the Spanish church, and we're focused on prayer meetings and soul winning activities. But the minute we become one-dimensional is the minute we become imbalanced, and instead of having a healthy church, we produce a very unhealthy environment that becomes an irritation to all. Have you ever been to a place or sat in a ministry that was imbalanced? And I'll say this, just because we're so close to election, I've watched and have good friends that the minute they got into politics and began to lead their church down that path, you know what people don't want to sit in the church and hear about politics? They hear about that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then once you know they show up to church on Sunday, and there it is again. And church, you ought to say, I shouldn't be the imbalanced member in this church. I got to make sure that I'm not teaching and preaching my tastes or my preferences as if they were principle, because I'll be hurting someone. You're balanced, living a life of grace and truth. You know when a church becomes imbalanced? When you got people walking around think they're truth monitors, Baptist policemen. You know the best thing you can do as a church member? Say, I want to stand on truth, but I've got to understand the same grace that God has showed towards me, I want to show towards man. How many of you have experienced the grace of God? And you still can't believe what he's forgiven. So why would you be holding that over someone's head, knowing what God has forgiven you? That's called imbalance, and it creates a very unhealthy environment. Healthy church. Go with me to Acts 1:8. We're finished. Walking in wisdom is living a balanced life. Should be our goal. Here's what we have to do. We got to look to God and his word, not others, to determine our priorities. We've got to ask ourselves, what's my purpose? What's the gift that God has given me? What is the command that I'm supposed to be obeying? Am I maximizing those things that God emphasizes, that God maximizes? Look what it says. Ye shall receive power. Verse 8, Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Circle the next word. Both Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Both. And here's what ought to be our prayer this morning. God has given us different roles and different commands, and here's what he was telling these disciples. I want you to reach Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. How do we do that? He didn't say, Peter, I want you to focus on Jerusalem, and Andrew, I want you to focus on Samaria. He said, each one of you has the same responsibility, both. And we look at that and say, there's no way that God would expect that out of me. No, God expects you to be successful in your role as a father, in your role as a husband, is your role in your role as an employee or employer, a son, a co-worker. He says, both. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to put more emphasis? Both. Is a church, here's what we see, church becoming balanced, and they're all about reaching to Jerusalem, run 1,000 buses and never give a dime to missions. Yeah. Or you watch churches, hey, they give all this money to reach the world and never go out and knock on a door, never pass out a track. They don't even have a track rag, don't even have a track ministry, don't even have anyone in the church that would tell someone else about Jesus Christ. That's called imbalanced Christian living. Yes, and here's what Christ says, I want you to do both and be successful in both. That's a balance. Christians, if we're going to live wise, we're going to have to get to a place where this is not psychology, but scripture, we've got to get to know ourselves and grow ourselves. I say, okay, We got to observe what we're doing, do a little self-examination and say, okay, where am I imbalanced? Because disproportionate growth creates a monster. Can you imagine after 8, the only thing that grew was my hand? You know what everyone would say? Here comes the hand. 4'2" and an 18-inch hand. Hello, Brother Ernest. You know what kids feel embarrassed by? If their ear is a quarter of an inch bigger than what it should be, a quarter of an inch, disproportionate. And they just walk around, you know, like, hey, why do you wear that baseball cap over your ears? Oh, I got it. That's why. They're big and they stick out. They're disproportionate. Have you ever seen someone that their head just kind of kept growing? And you didn't want to say it, but you thought, is that your head or is your neck blowing a bubble? We all wish we had the perfect head. Sometimes the head growth was a little disproportionate to the body. You know what? Spiritually, we're creating monsters by disproportionate growth. And because we're not growing in every aspect of our life, someone else is going to look and say, that's scary Christianity. Because we're not growing in grace. We're not growing in truth. We're not growing in biblically balanced teaching. We're not growing in temperance. Temperance is all about even growth. And until you say, I'm going to measure my days, that's what Psalm 90 talks about. We're supposed to number our days and understand my time as a father is limited. How many of you have kids that are 17, 18, 19, you're starting to understand that? Oh, you thought you had forever. A child was 18 months old and screaming at night. You thought you were going to have to deal with this forever. Now that they're 18 years old, your ministry is not going to last forever. And you've got to say, I want to stay so balanced that God is honored and glorified in this because I don't want to lose my children at the expense of my ministry, and I don't want to lose my ministry at the expense of my family. Somehow in this, God, give me the grace to determine I'm going to live a balanced life, and I'm not going to make excuses for my imbalance, because the cost of imbalance is a marriage, is a child, is a ministry, is a soul. It costs way too high.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.